Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Well, it all started with a guy named William Townsend. He was born back in 1896, and he was interested in doing some cross-cultural work with the Mayan people in Guatemala. He wanted to do that in 1919. Now, when he got down there and he started working with the people there, he realized something else needs to be done, meaning that he wanted to do something with their language, because at that point in time, for them, it was just a spoken language, and he wanted to give it vowels and consonants and those kinds of things so that it become a written language. Well, he realized that doing that work for the people was a rather daunting task. So what he decided to do, he's going to start a school to help teach people to be able to do this kind of thing. So he started doing that by starting a school in Arkansas in 1934. Now, he started off with two students. One of those guys was Kenneth Pike, and then a year later, his sister Eunice came down after having graduated from nursing school in Massachusetts, decided to go down there and take up this work too. So she started to work on all of this. Now, why talk about this particular woman in particular here, Eunice Pike? Well, she worked for 40 years with the Mazatec Indians there in southwestern Mexico, and she discovered some interesting things about this people. Now, for instance, the people there seldom wished anybody well. So when they came up to you, they didn't say hi, or they didn't smile or anything like that. In fact, they did some other things that would be kind of strange. They were just hesitant to greet anybody in particular, much less want to share the gospel at all. In fact, she called what the people did was something that was called limited good. What she means by that is that the people there thought that there was only so much knowledge to go around, that there was only so much happiness to go around, because if you shared that with somebody else, then you took from what was yours and gave it to them, and you wouldn't get it back. So think about that. That means that if you were to teach somebody something, then part of your knowledge would leave you and you would be gone. You couldn't get it back. So you wouldn't have coaches, would you? Well, they didn't. So then if you had one child, well, that's fine. You could love your child there. But if you had a second child, well, that meant that you were going to have to take some of the love that you're giving to your first child there, take that away from them, and give it to the second child. But if you weren't going to do that, if you wanted to love your child the same amount of money, then what were you going to do? You'd have to take some from your spouse. So you'd stop loving your spouse as much because you're going to have to love that second child some. Kind of an odd predicament. But when you think about it here, if you only get so much of a thing and you give it away and you don't get it back, kind of difficult to live your life, isn't it? You know, she went one time to ask the baker. It's like, well, how do you know how to bake? He goes, I don't know. I just know. It's interesting. Nobody wants to teach anybody else. And so you're going to sit there and have to divide up your love like that. That'll just get less and less and less with the more that you wanted to share. So you wouldn't be inclined to teach anybody. You wouldn't be inclined to smile at anybody, because part of your happiness would leave you in. You wouldn't get it back unless somebody smiled at you. Think about how depressing a life that would be. But that's the way all of these people were. And if you think about it, you're going to be less inclined to be helpful. All kinds of things. But such would be the life without Jesus. Hold on to that thought for a moment. First of all, let's look at our Old Testament lesson there. We have David there, and he's offering up a prayer there to the Lord. David is wanting to build a temple to the Lord. Now, we all know that God ends up later telling him that, no, that's not something for you to do. It's going to be your son Solomon's job. But at this point in time here in David's life, well, he's offering up that. And David's wanting it to have nice furnishings and light, so he donated some of his own wealth. And he's also noticing that the people there, well, they're donating some of their wealth too. They're being very generous. Listen to David's prayer again. He says, therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord our God, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. Well, in this prayer here, David recognizes something, that first of all, that God is almighty and that he's powerful. And that any of the power and prestige and honor that a person has comes directly from his hand. Because he's the one who has given gifts and talents and abilities for people to use. And in turn, when they put those to good use then, well, then they do receive that power and honor and glory. But again, it's all coming from God's direction. And David recognizes that. That everything that a person possesses comes directly from his hand. And because the people are so generous and giving, he sees then that it is God who is enabling his people to give so generously. David's saying this way, we are giving you your own. Now, how's another way of looking at this? Let's say it's Christmas. Okay, Christmas time. And so what do? And, well, you as an adult there, you have a family, and, well, you want to make sure that everybody receives gifts, so you buy gifts for your kids. But you also recognize that, while it's important for the kids to understand that, well, they would like to give mom and dad a gift. But they're too little. So what do? You go out, you buy a gift for yourself, and then you sit there and you put on the tag to mom or dad, whatever, you put your own name on there, from your child's name. You're the one who's done that. All right, so you bought a gift for yourself that they're going to give to you. We all know that. That's what we do. Or it's like what Deacon Anthony was talking about here, about giving an allowance. Well, they take some of the money that you give to them so they can spend it right back on you, right? That's what we're talking about here. That's what David is recognizing that we as God's people do. We take that what he's given us and return a portion back to him. But the real difference here is that this act of giving to God is an act of worship. What does it show? First of all, it shows that we trust our God, that he's going to provide for us. It also shows that we are thankful to our God for giving us life, for forgiving us, for giving us that hope of eternal life. You see, all of these things here are responses for how God has been so generous with us. So we need to remember that, especially the fact that God sent his son Jesus, who died for us, that we would have forgiveness, who rose from the grave alive, so that we would have the hope of eternal life. That's what we need to be thankful for and to remember. And so we should respond by returning back some of that which he has given us in the first place. And therein lies the challenge for us. How are we? How effective are we at returning a portion of that which God has given us? And that's why I used the example of the Mazatec Indians there. I would venture to say that as you first heard me tell that, share that story about those folks, that you probably thought they're a little silly. It's like, really? That you only have a limited amount of love, and that if you take from that love to give to somebody else, well, that's just that much less that you can share with others. Really? And you wouldn't want to teach anybody a trade, because you're going to take some of your skills and give them away, and you're not going to get them back. But it's not so big of a stretch when you think about it, when we apply it to ourselves, when it comes to our income. Do we understand that all that we have comes from God's hand? Do we feel that we have less by returning a portion of that to him when he has been so generous with us in the first place, like giving us his son? You see, God wants us to be in heaven. He's made it possible for you to get into heaven. But in the meantime, though, he has given us different gifts and talents and treasures and abilities and all these kinds of things here for what? For service in his kingdom, so that the good news might be shared with others. You see, God here, though, doesn't have a limited store. He doesn't have like 10 and he can give 2 over here and 3 over here. And if he's giving it all away, then he has nothing for anybody else. It's quite the opposite. God has unlimited resources. God gives generously and wants you to share that and be generous with others too. Listen to how Peter tells us in his first letter. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You see, God wants us to be generous with what he has given us in the first place. And so as we return a portion of that to him, he in turn gives us more so we can be generous in any and all situations. So the more we give it away, the more he's going to keep supplying us. And therein lies the challenge for us. Do we trust him to keep his promises? That's always the kind of struggle that we have. But you see, God wants you to serve in his kingdom. And he wants you to be a good steward. He wants the world to hear the good news that you already have and know. He wants everyone to learn about Jesus. And so if you're going to work hard for him, he's going to make sure that you have everything that you need to do that very thing. But if you're like the Mazatec people, then, well, you're going to be holding on to that, right? Thinking that what you have is just limited, that you won't have any more. Not so. Not so. We have a very generous God. Because you see, when you hold back on that, it's all about what you think you have, and it's yours. It's God's. You see, a people in a congregation can hold on to that. But when we go beyond that and recognize that is indeed what God has given us, oh, we can do so much more. And that's why there's that little green insert there in your bulletin for today. Okay? That's all about you remembering what God has done for you. It's a challenge. It's not a thing in which we sit there and think, it's like, well, I've had my turn to give already, and it's like it's somebody else's turn. No, it's always about you and your relationship with God, not anybody else. For you see, we'll be praying about that this week. You'll have opportunity to bring that slip back next week then, and we'll make our commitments here. We'll consecrate those to the Lord. And all consecration means is that we're setting aside that which God has blessed us with and in turn to be a blessing in return to him. You see, this act of giving, it's not about the church needing something. It's all about an act of faith. Faith. Faith in what God has given you. He's given you life. He's given you salvation, meaning he's given you eternal life, all because of the great love that he has for you. In return, just like Linda shared at the beginning, it's all about giving thanks to God for all the blessings that we enjoy each and every day. Remember that this week? Pray about it this week as you ask God, what are you calling me to give? In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.